Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, broadcast and recorded live on blogtalkradio.com from the new media and American League Baseball capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. CNBC anchor and reporter David Faber is my guest today. He's the author of a new book, And Then the Roof Caved In, How Wall Street's Greed and Stupidity Brought Capitalism to Its Knees. Now, I'm very excited for David and his new book, but first we have some old business to cover. He won't remember this, but we met at the Business Channel's Fort Lee, New Jersey headquarters back in 2001 when I started writing a book called CNBC Profit Drivers. David was supposed to write the introduction. Now, the book was finished but never published in print. It was canceled the week after 9/11, but you can read it in its entirety at www.profitdrivers.net, but it's still missing an official CNBC introduction. All right, now I got that off my chest. Let's talk about And Then the Roof Caved In. David, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thanks, Bob. I apologize for that. I have to say I'd forgotten about it.
That's okay. The funny thing about that book is, no matter how many times I tell Amazon and Barnes & Noble that it was never published, they have a cover, and they keep you. It's still up there, so I'd like to come back to it now and then.
Sure.
So you know, what's most interesting about your new book is that you nailed the date that the American financial system basically went to hell in a Gucci handbasket. Did you know that night how big a mess we were in, or did it take a while to go back and pinpoint the moment of infamy?
Well, I mean, if you're talking about September 14th of 2008, I guess we'll be celebrating that anniversary in not too long. You know, I think we all knew, having done this for over 22 years now, it was clear to me that we were in the midst of something I'd certainly never seen. You could take the three stories that occurred on that evening, for example, AIG about to go bankrupt, Lehman Brothers going bankrupt, and Merrill Lynch being sold to Bank America. Each of those would have represented maybe one of the bigger stories literally of a decade in terms of business news, and they were all happening in the same night. There was nothing ever like it. There never will be anything like it again, I can't imagine.
Now, it happens – having some knowledge of how news operations work, it happens on a Sunday night. That's not exactly the time that operations, news organizations are particularly well staffed. So what's going on with you and CNBC that night, that day?
Yeah, well, as you know, I write in the prologue to my book, we typically, as you just said, we're pretty skeleton staff on a Sunday. I mean, the markets aren't open. That Sunday was quite different as the day wore on. You know, I knew having left on Friday, certainly Lehman Brothers was in deep, deep trouble. And so it appeared likely we were going to have some news over the weekend. And I started to make calls on that Sunday. I also knew AIG was having certainly issues. I'd been following it actually quite closely the week prior. But as we got closer to about 5 o'clock, I think it became clear to everybody that we got to go on television. We can't wait till Monday. And so the first time I can remember, having been here 16 years, it was everybody on deck. Come into the headquarters and let's get it going. And we got on air at 8 o'clock, and we didn't go off air till midnight.
Because this was kind of the CNBC equivalent of going to the mattresses, right?
It was. It was the equivalent of certainly the biggest news story any of us had ever dealt with and continue to deal with. I mean, and then that week, it's not as though it just ended. Of course, 4 days later, we really came to what many people I talked to in government and outside in the business world describe as the precipice there of seeing our financial system collapse. Certainly Hank Paulson, the former Treasury Secretary, would say that. That was the day that we first heard murmurings of what ultimately became known as TARP.
Right, and I mean, that was a period of time that anyone, whether you had stocks or investments, retirement, you can go back and look at that time and know that you were not feeling good those days. I mean, it was a depressing time. I'm not saying today is much better, As a matter of fact, the last couple of weeks, I think we're seeing that we're nowhere near out of this mess. But, I mean, well, you did a documentary, House of Cards, that I understand inspired the book. But what is it going to take, do you think, to inspire the public back to optimism with what happened last September?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're in the midst of a true economic calamity, nothing like the Great Depression, thankfully, at this point. And our administration is certainly doing the things it thinks are right to try and get us out of this, as is the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Ben Bernanke. Time will tell whether those are the right moves or not. But we got to get to the bottom, you know, and that's one of the things you'll hear from some in the minority is the incrementalism is ultimately going to kill us. That some wish we just let the banks fail that we hadn't had any government interference whatsoever, and ultimately we could have hit bottom sooner. People could really realize what value is or isn't. In housing, which of course started all this and which I focus on in the book, we still are waiting for the bottom there. I think the sooner we get to the bottom, in a sense, as much pain as that's going to cause, the sooner we can at least start to really talk seriously about seeing a recovery, not what people have been talking about recently, which I'm just not a believer in yet based on what I hear from people who run our big companies in this country in terms of truly seeing an economic recovery yet.
Now, it's been about roughly 10 months since that collapse. As you look back, and this is a very short span of time to look back, obviously, but can you look back and say, yeah, we should have just let everything go and dealt with it that way? Do you have a thought one way or the other?
You know, I don't. There's a part of me that certainly, and I detail this in the book, and as well I should mention CNBC.com has a great new feature called Boom, Bust, and Blame that also goes into detail, sort of basing it on some of the stuff from the book. But, you know, I wonder whether, and many do, whether we could have let these firms fail. Take the consequences of the risk that you took on, and that risk ultimately would have meant, frankly, a disaster for almost every one of our big financial firms, save perhaps just a couple. Would we have lost the financial system? Would we have been in the Stone Age, the way some in the former and current administration say? Perhaps. Or perhaps they're wrong. There are plenty of smart people I speak to who believe, you know what, at the end of the day, we have an incredibly resilient economy, a great deal of ingenuity, and people would have immediately rushed in, taken what they could out of the ashes of all these financial institutions, and we would have ended up with a financial system that was quite a bit stronger, and we would have hit bottom a lot sooner.
Mm-hmm. Last question, and it's a big one for a short period of time that we have left, but were the titans of the American financial system, were they stupid, greedy, opportunistic, or all of the above, or none of the above?
Well, I think they were everything. They were certainly greedy, and ultimately their actions were stupid. They were blinded by their greed, I think, to a large extent. They believed they understood the risk their institutions were undertaking. Clearly, they did not. My own reporting shows, in the case of Stan O'Neill at Merrill Lynch, or Chuck Prince, the former CEO of Citigroup, they did not understand the risk that their institutions were undertaking. So they were all of the above, in my opinion, I think is what you have to say.
All right. Well, folks, you can order David Faber's new book, And Then the Roof Caved In, How Wall Street's Greed and Stupidity Brought Capitalism to Its Knees, from great bookstores everywhere or online at MR Media, MrMedia.com, or Amazon.com. And, of course, you can catch David daily on CNBC. David, are you on Facebook or on Twitter? Can people find you those places?
You know, I'm not on Twitter. I have a Facebook page I have to admit I haven't really used since I set it up before I was going to interview Mark Zuckerberg and wanted to see what it was all about. So I am blogging, though. So I am in the new media age. I am blogging on CNBC.com, but that's about it for me right now.
All right. People, go find him there. And, David, introduction or not, thanks so much for joining us on Mr. Media today. It's good to talk to you.
I appreciate it, Bob. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. And, folks, for more interviews with journalists, you can surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with Dateline NBC's Chris Hansen, 2009 Pulitzer Prize winners Bill Adair of PolitiFact.com and Lane DeGregory of the St. Petersburg Times, and many more. And please think about writing an online review of Mr. Media, casting a vote for Mr. Media, or marking Mr. Media as one of your favorites, whether you listen on Blog Talk Radio, TrueSlant.com, DigitalJournal.com, Podcast Pickle, MediaFly.com, Podfeed.net, Blueberry, Zencast, Zimbio, or Odeo. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. Or subscribe to Mr. Media's blog on the Amazon Kindle Reader. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate when you share a piece of your day with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening, everybody.